Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
But I want to focus on answered prayer. And as I do, you know, the first part is that who are we asking? You know, we come to God and we come to God as our Father. Amen. I had a distorted view of Father when I got born again. Father was like a cuss word to me. I mean, it was offensive to me because my father, no, just stay with me. I'm saying serious. I was abused by my father. So before I was a Christian, I hated my father. My father committed suicide when I was a teenager. I said when I was a kid and I watched him beat my mother and beat me, I said, I will take him out when I'm big enough. And I resented my brothers and sisters who would not stand up for my mother who was being abused. Are you understanding? If you're a child in your head, I didn't know how to comprehend anything. I just, that was me. And I had, and God saved me, thank God, and healed me. But my father committed suicide before I ever got to forgive or reconcile with my dad. It rocked me. So when people before I was saved would say, you know, Father God, I'd be like, ah, you know, that wasn't a good thing. And I was antagonistic towards that because there was something, I was wounded, I was hurt, I didn't have a perspective. So if when I got saved and they said, pray our Father, that really wasn't going over that great with me. Because my lenses of my experience were negative and bad. And so I thought that my father, my natural father was a punisher. My natural father was an orphan raised in an orphanage who went into the military who didn't know how to father. How could I blame that? But I didn't understand that. I'm just a kid who wants a dad. And so I had to reform my whole image of Father God based on what the Word says, not on my experience. But unfortunately, our experiences with our natural mother and father sometimes can taint the way we see Father God, and our experiences as a Christian with Father God can taint the way that we see and pray. And so that's why I'm saying, like, how we come to him, how we see him, who we're coming to, and how we're coming to him. If we listen to your prayers, listening to your prayers, I could tell how you see him and how you see yourself. If you listen to somebody pray, is he a good father or is he a harsh father? Are you praying? Are you begging like as if somehow your prayer is going to hit the lottery in heaven and you're going to get answered only if it's by random choice? Or do we believe God answers prayers? Do we believe, is he a distant God or is he a close God? How are we asking? So how we ask is also very revealing to how we see him and who we see, how we see ourselves. So our identity is really critical in this situation. I want to go out of Luke. I want to read Luke 18, 1 through 8, even though I really only want to focus on that first verse. Luke 18, 1. Then he spoke a parable to them saying that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And that's where I want to focus today. But then he laid a parable out and he said, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said to himself, though I don't fear God and I don't regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. First of all, we need to understand something about this parable Jesus is telling. In that day and in that system, this was not a Jewish person he's talking about. This is not a person of faith. If you were a Jewish person, the way that the system worked is that you had a Jewish representative and you got to bring your Jewish representative. You had an attorney, the plaintiff had an attorney, and there was one in the middle who was neutral, and there was three. This is not what Jesus is saying. So when Jesus is saying this, he's talking about the Roman he's talking about a Roman judge. Now, if you were in that system and you were a Roman going to a judge, these Roman judges were corrupt. They had a reputation of corruption. Basically, if you didn't bribe them, you weren't going to get anything done. So when Jesus is telling this parable, there's a bigger story, because if you were a widow and he's saying a widow went to that Roman judge, you're not going to get anything if you don't have the finances. Are you with me? Basically, she's not going to get justice anyway unless she could bribe him. That's the bottom line. Okay, can we go back into it? All right, you're tracking? So she isn't going to get anything anyway. And he says, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her lest her continually coming, she weary me. So what he was saying is when she comes to me, she'll weary me. So her only weapon was to weary him, which actually means to close the eyes. So what he was saying like is that I'm going to get so tired. I mean, she's just going to wear me out. So I need to respond. So he said, so the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. So he lays it out and he says, now check that out. But now in verse 7 and 8, he says, and he gives kind of this thing on the parable. And he says this in verse 7, And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And I think that's a challenge to us it's a challenge to us. How are we praying? How are we approaching him? Because he's doing a thing on persistence in prayer. And he's saying, will I find faith? Are we coming to a loving God with faith, believing that he answers our prayers? Did we lose heart? How he opened it in verse 1. He said, he spoke a parable saying that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Did we lose heart and stop praying? Did we not have our prayers answered so we stop asking? Did we shift our view of God? If we stop praying, we have a different view, right? He's not going to really answer your prayer anyway, but we won't say that. Oh, no, I can't say that. But if you stop asking, there's something that has trained you. Has unanswered prayer trained you to stop praying? There's something on this that the body of Christ, not just here but all over, that I think God is doing something to get us to a degree of answered prayer, that our prayers will increase and that our hearts will be whole. And if all we do today and establish today is that if we've lost heart in our prayers, that we reestablish our heart right with God so that we can connect in our prayer lives. And there's a true story. It's kind of around graduation. How many are believing for like awesome graduation presents? Is there anybody graduating? Okay, there was a true story. Billy Graham told this story. I read it in one of his books. I can't remember which one. But he told a story of a boy, and he was set to graduate from high school, and his dad promised him that he could pick out a new car as a graduation gift. So they stopped by the dealership. He picks out a car. So after graduation was over, the son approaches the dad expecting to get the keys to a car handed to him, and he gets a Bible handed to him. Bible. Car, Bible. Keys. Bible. So he takes the Bible and he chucks it across the room. He leaves. He's estranged from his father from years. His father dies, and now he's coming to. He's there with the mother, and he looks in the funeral. And at the funeral, after the funeral, he's there with the mother, and he looks, and there on a table across the room is the Bible that he was given, and it's just been sitting there. So he walks over to the Bible and he starts to thumb through it. There's a check in the pages. Guess how much the check was? The full price of the car. So he throws away, and now all of a sudden he realizes he didn't get the thing that he wanted, but he really realized the most valuable thing was a relationship with his father that he didn't get. Now that check was just like an unanswered prayer, that a lot of us have unanswered prayer that's been released from heaven that we haven't connected with, like Daniel who prayed and there was a release, but we'd even connected with that. There's a lot of unanswered prayer just sitting there that God already put in motion. And it's estranged our hearts from a loving Father. And because God didn't do it the way we thought he was going to do it, he was giving him the car, but he gave it to him in the check in the Bible and the whole sneak attack thing. You know, it's coming in here, and he didn't want that. He wanted straightforward. Sometimes we want God to do it our way, and God doesn't do it our way, and we're offended at God. We won't say it, but that's really what we are. Are we offended that God didn't answer our prayer the way we wanted him to answer it? Thank God he didn't answer all of our prayers. Thank God some of you didn't marry the one you wanted to marry after you realized that God didn't allow you to marry them. And single people, thank God he doesn't answer your prayer sometimes. Because he's a loving father and he spared you from some messed up relationships. And all you see is, God didn't answer my prayer. The guy doesn't recognize me. The girl doesn't recognize me. It's like, God knows. He's a big God. You know, come on. Your baby can ask for ice cream every day. I want ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you're getting broccoli at my house. Asparagus is hitting the table. And you're not getting the ice cream if you don't want to eat your greens and your vegetables. They're important. I mean, literally, one of our sons would act like he's dying. He'd hack up the salad like a cat hacking a furball up. And all of us are rolling our eyes at the table as he's right there at the trash can. But I'm like, you will eat the salad. And he's like, wah. It was so comical. But as a father, we're not going to cut you loose to eat the ice cream. We know you need the vegetables. Sometimes in our prayer lives, God, thank God you don't answer some of our prayers. Thank God as a loving, sometimes no is an answer. And if we are close enough to hear no without getting blown away, you know what I'm saying? So God's a loving father. And the key thing was relationship, because the greatest thing is not prayer does produce things, but it's not the things, it's the relationship. But you know, prayer reveals the dependency we have with God, or the lack of dependency. I just said it. But if you have a lack of prayer, then you're really trying to do a lot of things that God wants to do for you. And he wants to show himself strong in a lot of ways. He'll let us just be and do, but that's not the best way. Prayer draws us close to God, and you know, especially when we're alone in prayer with him, there's something so special. There's something so special that we're really missing out on. I missed out on a lot, and I was revealing to you guys my testimony, but I'll never forget the time I first called, first time I called God Daddy. I used to think men were wimps who said, Abba Father and Daddy God. I think these guys are weak. I didn't understand a relationship with a living God. And one time I was sitting there and I was in San Antonio. I'll never forget where I was. I was in San Antonio, Texas, and I was all camoed out. I love to hunt. And I was hunting and I'm laying there and I saw my reflection in the buttstock of my rifle. Sorry. Unless you're a vegan, you have nothing to say against that. Because that meat is awesome. If you're a vegan, then I still have an argument for you, but whatever. I don't eat cats and dogs. I love my cat. Okay? But the deer is good food, especially if you live in Texas. But I remember laying here, and I was by myself, and I never have ever done that by myself. I'm always with someone. But I was doing this thing where I was on a trek with God, and I was in a communication with the Father. And I just saw myself having so much fun, and I was so elated because I had all these whitetails surrounding me, and I was just like, man, this is just incredible. But I had a moment, and I caught myself saying, Abba. I said, Daddy. I went, Daddy, this is so awesome. Like, you get that giggly little boy look. And I just thought, okay, mine happened in a spot when I was laying out like a sniper. That's me. I don't care what yours is. Forget that part if that's hard for you. I shouldn't have told you what I was doing. But I had a spot. I had a moment. And I had a breakthrough when I realized, wow, you know what I mean? I'm so healed that I can call you Daddy. And it was an incredible moment with God. And he answers prayer and he comes through. And it ended up being like awesome. And everything was awesome. That was just an awesome time with God. Incredible. But there's breakthroughs. He wants you to be that close with him. What do you call him? If you only call him God, Jesus only called him God once. Right? Where else did he call him God? When he was on the cross taking our sins on himself. Right? Where else? How do you pray? Do you say God or do you just say Father? How are you approaching him? Are you as a daughter and a son, or are you distant? Do you feel like he's distant? Anyway. You know, answered prayer builds confidence in us that we can pray more. Having prayers answered is amazing. Sometimes we testify of answered prayer. We testify that God's healing or God's doing something because people get it builds a testimony. With your children, you want your children to see that God answers prayer, or you're training them that God really isn't going to answer because there's no answered prayer. Are you with me? Answered prayer is really critical. It's important that we share and we talk about what God's doing, and that we learn to pray effectively and teach our children and spiritual children that God does answer prayer. And I think every one of us can lose heart. You can be all like in there on one moment and the next week not. Look at the prophet. He's calling fire from heaven and then he's saying, I'm no better than my fathers, take my life. I mean, read the Bible. It's like one moment you're like calling fire from heaven. You're mocking them, saying, where's your God? Is he sleeping? Is he going to the bathroom? Is he doing something? Why isn't he here? Why isn't he showing up for you? And then fire comes down and on the altar and this miraculous, all this stuff happens. And then just a little bit farther, Jezebel intimidates him and he's off saying, take my life. I'm no better than my fathers. How did you connect with your old self that's no good and not strong? How? At the first service, we prayed for two Marines that are being deployed. And one of them, as he's praying, he said, I was getting attacked. And then I finally said, wait, who do you know who you're messing with? I am a son of the king, you know? And then he flipped it, his view and his opinion. And I was saying, you're preaching my message. Because when we look at our depravity or our past, it's easy to say, God shouldn't answer any of my prayers. But when we look at who we are in Christ, that's a whole nother thing. From 11 years old till 21, I don't want to even think of those 10 years, but I'm a different person after 21 years old. Yes. I didn't do drugs after that. I'm not the guy who did those things when he was young. That man died, like Paul said, my life is that's not me. My life, I'm dead to that. My life is hidden with God in Christ. It's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So we need to have a position that if we don't know who we are, we're going to have problems when we start to go to prayer, because he's going to say, really? Is that really going to happen? Are you really going to get answered? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I appreciated Robert Henderson last week. Powerful message. He talked about three ways we approach God: as father, friend, and judge. But 90% of it, he said, he approaches God as father. So if we don't establish father first, that we approach him, I think we've done a good job. I think Bethel's done a good job on bringing that father. I think identity has been a key. I think Summit has a hold of identity. I think if you've been around enough, you'll hear that message communicated and laid out. I think friend is the next level, and that friend is where he reveals. I don't call you slaves and servants, but I call you friends, and I reveal all things to you. And that's coming. It's happening. I love it. David Herzog's book about revealing secrets coming out here soon. Sean Bowles' book's coming out on June 17th. There's an event we're signed up to. I hope you get to go. It's at HROC. It's going to be awesome. Saturday, June 17th. Be great. I think they're over halfway full. Go online. Check in. But his book's going to be released on God's secrets. God calls us friend and he reveals secrets to us. And sometimes in answered prayer, we need to be those that are getting revelation on why it's not being answered or what God's doing. Are you with me? So we need to know him as father. We need to know him as friend. And we need to know him as a judge. When you're absolutely stuck with something, there is sometimes a legal right why your prayers aren't being answered and your destiny is being hindered, that you need to go into those courtrooms by the blood of Jesus with your advocate and make some declarations there. Are you with me? Look at all the key people that had key moments of prayer. Look at Daniel. He repented for the sins of a nation. There needs to be repentance, but sometimes we need a revelation of what we need to go in with. So we need all three aspects, but the majority, 90% of the time, if we don't get son and father, daughter and father right, you're not going to get the other ones. So we need that. We need to get a hold of that so that we'll have a greater increase of answered prayer, so that the world will see our God. He's waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. If the whole earth's waiting for that revealing, then if our hearts are wounded, if our hearts aren't connected with God is our Father, the world can't see that. So Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he said that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So it needs to be first on our list. Number one, who are we praying to? Are we praying to the Father? So we need to pray to the Father. And what kind of a Father? How are we communicating? How are we speaking to him? And can you speak in terms of endearment to God? Have you settled that he's not your natural father? He's not whatever experiences of authority on the earth, if you've had negative ones. That's not God. Are you allowing the Word of God to transform your thinking? And the next one, 1A, is our identity will show up in our prayers. He tells us in Luke 11:9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, it will be open to him. And then he says, if a son asks for bread any father among you would give him, will he give him a stone? You say, no. Or if he asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? No. If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No. Then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I know he's talking about being filled with the Spirit, but the point is that he's doing a contrast, and he's trying to show us in contrast that if even an evil, even if the evil part of humankind wouldn't do such a thing, how much more would our Heavenly Father, who has no evil, there's no shifting a shadow inside of him, how much more will he do for his sons and daughters? Two of you got that. Thank you for getting that. Yeah. Leonard and Francis got it. Hey, okay, so if an evil father will give good gifts to his children, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who has no evil? This isn't a comparison. This is a contrast. Jesus did the same thing in Luke 18. This is not a comparison. He did not say, look at how God is like the evil judge. So if you're persistent and you bug him, you can bug God and God will give it to you because he doesn't want to be bugged. It's not a comparison. The parable was a contrast. He said that the evil judge, that's why I tried to tell you, he used the evil judge. He didn't even use the Jewish. He didn't even use a Jewish scenario. He used the heathen, the Roman, or the whatever, the non of that day. He used an illustration that would totally separate it, that there's no comparison to God, godly in any aspect. It was a contrast parable. And what he's trying to say to us is that we need to get it and get a hold of it, that how could our God, who's loving ever, how could he not want to freely and freely give you all things? Then you can say amen right there. Amen. Four of you got it. I'll say it a third time if you don't give God some praise in the house. Serious. He loves you. And if you say, well, that's not my experience, are you going to pray according to your experience or according to your doctrine? Because if I minister according to the doctrine that I understand, then my experience will catch up with me. I'm not feeling it, Pastor. I married this woman and I'm not feeling it. It's like, well, if you treat her with love, you'll feel it. I'm not feeling any love from him. Give him love and you'll feel it. Feelings follow actions. And your experience will follow those actions as you act in faith in your doctrine. Signs and wonders follow those. It will follow because God's word is true. So what the enemy's ploy is that if he gets you to relate to God on your experience, on the lenses of your past, on your experience, or to focus on the prayers that haven't been answered. Huh? We just went on this last mission, and we prayed for all kinds of people. We saw a bunch of miracles. I don't know, in South Africa, we saw almost a dozen ears, 10 deaf ears open. We saw in Uganda, more deaf ears open. We came here, someone's deaf ear opened on the Sunday after here. And then, but there was people that didn't get a miracle. So what about the one who didn't get a miracle? If I focus on the one who didn't get a miracle, how's that going to encourage me to pray for the next one? So we didn't focus on what didn't happen. We focused on what did happen. But when you go back to your room afterwards, it's awesome what God did, but it isn't usually what comes to you, just what God did. Like, oh my goodness, that was so awesome. Sometimes it hurts you when you see the one that you went to pray for that didn't get healed. You have to discipline yourself not to look where you shouldn't be focused. If we what we focus on, we empower. And if we focus on the negative, it'll result in negativity in our life. If we focus on the lack of results, you'll have a lack of results. If you focus on the results. So Sherry was the first one, I think. Sherry, was you're the first ear that popped open from someone she prayed for. And it wasn't even in the meeting. We were hanging out after the meeting, right? We were praying for people. This deaf ear opens. And she's telling me this deaf ear opened. Awesome. And then is that when we prayed for that lady and that brace got healed? And she got healed from something. She had pain. Had a word of knowledge, and then her leg, and she gets healed from 10 years, had a brace on her leg, 10 years, no cartilage, couldn't, you know, move. If she took it off her leg, it was just in constant pain, 10 years, gets totally healed. So at the meeting that night, we share the testimony of what God did, and that spirit of prophecy went in the room, and then five women come up with deaf ears who get healed, and another guy gets healed. Because of that, because we focused on what God did and the goodness of God instead of on what didn't happen, dozens and dozens of people got healed after that. So that one miracle that went in motion because somebody was persistent to pray. And then when you were praying for that woman, I think I crashed in on your prayer with her. I think you were ministering to her, and then I just crashed in on it. Then I had a word of knowledge, and then she got prayer. But then at first nothing happened. Then we said, no, 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 we're going to pray. I forget. Oh, the foot. We saw her foot. And then she lifted up, and she had under her skirt, she had a brace. And she got healed, totally healed, and pulled off that brace. She got a miracle because we persisted to say, just because we prayed once, she got healed of one thing, let's pray for it all. Let's pray 100%. Are you with me? If he answered one prayer, why not answer all the prayers? So we just said, if he healed one, why won't all these deaf ears open? So only one opened at first, but then, I don't know, five or six people were in the front. Then five or six, every one of their ears got opened. And one of them was deaf, who was a worker from birth. He was had a deaf ear, and he went, I don't even know if he was saved. He was just in the back of the meeting, and then the camera person brought him forward, and he got healed. He was stoked. He was, like, jumping because he, I don't even know if his faith, I don't even know where he was. He was working on the sports fields and just came in the meeting, I think, to kind of please the owner of the land. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the motive. I'm not going to kill it totally. But the point is that it doesn't matter when you're in the midst, when prayer's being answered and you focus on what does happen, when you focus on the good things and you focus on the goodness of God, then you'll see those things happen. You with me? Her testimony can be my testimony. So the rest of the team can say, God just healed, instead of going, why is he healing through her and I'm on the team and no one's getting healed by me? Are you with me? I came on this team and spent a lot of money, and I want to have the anointing that Sherry's repping. Well, then associate with her testimony, embrace it, and declare God's healing deaf ears. Anyone got a deaf ear, I'm going to pray because that's what God's doing right now. And then he did it. And like 10, and then another, I think, five or six ears open. You've gone to 16. Why? Because you're jumping in. So God is a loving God, and he tells us that he challenges us. Jeremiah 29 12 and 13, he says, then you will call on me and go to pray, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If you just get your heart in the game and you keep your heart pure, if you just get your heart in the game and your heart is pure, you'll see more answered prayer. Amen. What do you think was the first strategy of the devil when he came to Eve? The first thing that he did God really say? Oh, shoot, God's holding out on me. He tried to put a wedge between Eve and God. And suddenly she saw that the fruit was good, because suddenly she believed that God wasn't good. And the minute she believed that God wasn't good, she believed the fruit was good, and that was the seed. And then she sinned, her husband sins, and now we've had a big mess. Since then Jesus redeems it on the cross. Hello, thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? Are you here? So he redeemed what they did. But can I tell you right now, I used to be a competition fighter. If it worked, I'd reuse it. Sometimes I'd use the same technique on the guy over and over. I could get 8 points on one guy when I was point fighting, because he held his hands up and I would score a point, and I could do a point, 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 because he'd do the same thing. So I understood as a fighter that if somebody is vulnerable once, they'll do it again because it's a reaction. So I go like this and they lift their hands and I just boom, 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 because I know they're going to lift their hands. So what I'm telling you is that a lot of times humankind is repetitive. Can I tell you something? The devil's strategy is the same. His number one go-to was to tell you, did God really say? Is that really true? It works for Brian. Will it work for me? It worked for Christy. Will it work for me? He'll go to and say, you're not qualified. It's not going to work on you. Did God really tell you? Did he really tell me? Am I really sent? Am I really chosen? Am I really... You've got to hold on to the Word of God. And the Word of God, God gives us our identity. We know we're sons. We know we're daughters. And when we hold on to it, we won't lose heart. The minute we lose sight of who we are, I am a son. And when the devil says, you can't do anything, I'll be like, I'll just agree with Paul. I can't do anything in myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you with me? You can. So it's like, okay, but he could tell me I'm no good. And I'll be like, you're right. I was no good. But in Christ, I'm good. In my weakness, now I'm strong. People could come and say, you did all these things. I'll be like, I did worse things. I'm not even arguing that I should have never been used for God. But somehow God chose to take imperfect humans and then turn around and put a perfect God, Emmanuel, God in us. That doesn't mean that I've justified anything. Since I've been saved, I've not done those things. Tell me what, since I'm 21, what I've done. And I'll own it and repent. You with me? But the devil's good at going back beyond that and saying, let me tell you who you were before the cross. So you have no right before the cross. If God forgave everything before the cross, he has no right to take me back to the table and accuse me of the things I've done prior to the cross. Well, even after, if it goes under the blood, that's true. If you've sinned and you've genuinely repented, then you've genuinely repented. Amen. The point is that you have a relationship with the Father. You have a revelation as a friend that will come to you, and you do have that relationship with a judicial God who will take, because of the blood of Jesus, you have an advocate to come back in and to release you towards your destiny so that you'll have a pattern of answered prayer. You'll have a profile. It'll be there where you know God answers. And when it's not coming, you're looking for how it's, you're more surprised somebody doesn't get healed or doesn't get delivered than you will that they do get delivered or they do get healed. You're more surprised that someone's not coming to your Jesus. You're more surprised that we should be in a reverse and God is flipping the table and he's turning it, because that is an attractive life. That is attractive. Jesus was attractive. Religion's not attractive. Jesus was attractive. Now, sometimes some people didn't understand it, but it's still attractive. And I just believe that God is going to, he's going to continue to do that. I believe we're in a day where he's making a difference on how we ask, and that he's restoring something inside of our hearts. And the number two was that we pray with persistence. And that's what he said, that we always ought to pray. And it reminds me of one of my favorite stories. It was actually a pastor, and this pastor had a kitten, and the kitten, they had a litter of kittens, and the kitten climbed up in the tree, and he couldn't get the thing down. He tried the tuna fish and the milk and everything to get the kitten come down. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'll get my truck, and I'll tie a rope to the tree and just pull the tree down so I can get the cat. So he ties a rope to the tree, and he gets his truck, and he's pulling the thing back. And suddenly the rope broke. It was a catapult. Shoo. Meow. Thing went over his fence. It's a little kitten. Choom. Okay. The guy loved cats. He couldn't find it. He looked in the neighborhood. He did everything. He could not find it, right? He's at the grocery store, and here's this lady getting food, and he sees, and he knows she's a cat hater. She's near him, and she's buying cat food. He didn't say dude. I was going to say dude. He's like, lady, you're buying cat food. Did you change your position on cats? And she said, I got to tell you this testimony, Pastor. She said, I told my daughter that you could never have a cat, ever. Don't ask me for a cat, right? She said, but if one suddenly just appeared, and she said, I'm praying. She said, you can pray, but unless one suddenly appears, and you can't have a cat. So the little girl goes in the backyard, and she bows down. She's on her knees. Now, this is the God you serve. This is the God you serve. She's on her knees praying persistently. Her anti-cat mother is standing there watching. And she watches her daughter persisting. Her daughter doesn't know the 10-step prayer model, the 4-step prayer model, doesn't understand the doctrine. But little kids understand persistence. Any parents in the room? And she's saying, oh God, my mommy won't let me have a cat. But she said, if you have one suddenly appear, I can just imagine. I want to see that red box when I get to heaven. I can just imagine the guy's pulling the truck back all careful with a big old rope that can't break. And suddenly this angel's like, there's a prayer needs to be answered. Chink. And then boom, the rope breaks. Cat goes flying. The little girl's like, angel's like, angel in the outfield. Nope, grab it. Nope, come over here. Boom. It appears. And she looks at her mom and then goes in the house. And the guy can't find it because she's elated in the house. I got the cat. I got a cat. And the mom's just like, OMG. It's undeniable. God is real. And we got a cat now. So I'm just saying, I'll tell you. Can I tell you? That cat was a watermark forever that God answers prayer. And that pastor did not tell her, you know, it looked awful lot like mine. It was a kitten from the litter. He just, Are you with me? It's not going to bust that little girl's dreams. That was not an answered prayer. That was me flicking it. And who would believe that? Anyway. But God is amazing like that, that he can answer prayer. We have been put in motion where we sent teams into Africa. Teresa showed up to a village that they had a dream that white people would come to their village, and white people don't come to their village ever, and they went to their village. And then this person had an open cut, and then there were flies all over it, gross. And God totally healed it up before they could even walk to their seat because their faith was so moved because God already spoke to them. Like Muslims are coming to Jesus by dreams, and they're just coming because they're seeing this man in white and all this, and that's the one that I prayed about, and they're following Jesus into church, and God's doing all these crazy things to answer prayer because answered prayer is going to be one of those marks, and your answered prayer life is going to go up, and it's going to be a mark of the future that God is going to bring people into the kingdom because of answered prayer. And your faith level, he wants to come and find faith on the earth in action, not buried, and he loves you so much. But I think you got it. I think that's enough. Can we stand? I pray, God, that you would just take us to another level in our expectancy for answered prayer. I pray, God, that the devil could never whisper, that he could never separate our heart, that we would never lose heart, that we would never lose focus on our identity of who we are. And I pray this one as well. Oxy had a dream, and in it, he was telling me that we need to know our identity. But sometimes when you learn your identity and you learn who you are, you learn that you're royalty, you learn that you're a son, you learn you're a daughter, you get a big head. And are you still going to be a friend to God when you realize you're famous? Are you still going to be a friend when you realize that God wants to do crazy things through you and move in power and demonstration of things? Are you still going to be a friend to God? Are you still going to come to him as daddy? The devil fell because he had a big head of pride. And we want to answer prayer, but we always want to stay humble. And we always want to know where it's that God uses the weakness of man, but he fills us with the power of God. It's always a testimony of him in us. And as Paul was communicated so well, that even his whole life was an expression of God's strength in him. But God, we yield everything that we are and everything that we have to you. We yield everything, and even the success of answered prayers, we yield that. We yield the glory to you, but we will give you glory, and we will let the earth see your glory. We won't take it to ourselves, but we will see the earth come to your glory. Your sons and daughters will be revealed on this earth, and your sons and daughters walk with answered prayer. It's the mark of a son and a daughter. It's the mark that you're his child, that he answers your prayers. You don't have to beg him because, no, that's my daddy. I don't even have to beg my daddy. My daddy's ready because my daddy's all powerful and he will answer prayers. And I thank you as they go to a world who doesn't know him, and some are very offended at him. But I know that even as we meet needs and we bring answers to prayers, it'll introduce them to a loving God. And so I pray right now for a new level of answered prayer. I pray for a demonstration of signs and wonders and the love of God, which is the greatest sign and wonder, that you can love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I pray that the sign and the wonder would point to a Jesus that's so strong and powerful, so loving that people cannot deny faith in him. And I thank you for that miracle. It's the greatest miracle ever, that somebody would give their life and spend all of eternity with a loving God who created them in his image to have relationship. But I pray it starts here. I pray right now that you just lift all the disappointment, and you'd lift things in our hearts from not having prayers answered, that we wouldn't try to understand why and hold you, but that our hearts would be free to trust you and believe and to fall completely into the hands of a loving God. We trust you, and with all our heart, we trust you. And so I ask you now, before we leave this room, if you're here and You say, I want that kind of trust. I want that kind of relationship. And some people would make an appeal and they would say, you know, like if you don't know Jesus, make an appeal. That is appeal is a valid appeal. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to know, but you need to know him. It's not just a statement that I know I'm saved. It's I want to know him. We don't have to wait to heaven to know him. You get to know him here. So I want to make an appeal to you and say, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? And if you don't, will you increase that relationship with a loving God? Have you connected with the love of God? And if not, will you connect today? But if you don't know him, if you know, I knew I was going to hell. It didn't take much to figure out. It's like my life plus nothing means I'm going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. I knew enough about God to know I didn't know God. But regardless of wherever you stand, God wants to love you and know you. So I'm asking you right now to respond to an appeal, not only to know him, but to be born again, but to enter into a relationship with a depth to it, with a relationship as a father and a son, as a daughter and a father. So first, I just want to make an appeal to you and say, if you don't know you're going to heaven and that's you, would you bow your heads all around the room? But if that's you and you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to know before I walk out this door. Because the Bible says these things were written so you may know. And so he wouldn't say it if you couldn't know. So if you always were in question of your eternity, then the Bible's false. But he tells us these things were written so you may know you have eternal life. He who has a son has life. So you can leave these doors with Jesus in your heart, in your life, and you can know you have eternal life. So I'm asking you, if you're here and you don't know that, would you just look at me and just raise a hand? Amen. You can put it back down. I just want to see, because the Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. And I just want, if you just say, acknowledge and say, I want to know today. I want to set it sure. I don't know, but I want to know. If that's you, just look up at me and go like that. I've had people just go like, I don't care. Just acknowledge. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Just say, I just want to know for sure. And if you say, well, I've kind of done a form of repentance, but I really am not living a repented life, but I want to set it straight today. I really want to connect with God. And that's me. Just look at me and just go like that. Amen. 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 And the acknowledging, heaven sees, heaven applauds you. He applauds you. There's a party in heaven every time one repents, every time someone connects, because you were made for that connection. So I just pray all over the room, would all of you pray this prayer? Even if you didn't raise your hand, God sees your heart if you're genuinely saying, this is me and you, God, this is real. So pray this prayer all over the room and just say, all of you, born again, maybe not born again, maybe it doesn't matter. Would you pray this prayer and just acknowledge God and just say, Father, I acknowledge today your great love. I believe that Jesus was crucified because of your love for me. I believe he died. I believe that you raised him from the dead and seated him in heaven because you love me. And I receive forgiveness for my sins. And today, I ask you, fill me with strength. Fill me with your spirit, God. Fill me with your great love. I want to pray for you right now. I pray, God, that you open doors. I pray, God, that where people have had a bad experience, I pray that they would connect with you in a way they never have. I stand here and I ask as a man, even as my father was not a good father, I ask that you forgive earthly fathers. I ask for you to release them of their sins. I repent in their stead and I say, forgive me. And be released from holding unforgiveness from earthly fathers. Be released from holding unforgiveness towards earthly authorities, mothers, fathers. But be released into the arms of a loving, not even a love that's undescribable, a love that's beyond comprehension, a love that you will spend all your days exploring and realizing that there's more and more and more. And I pray that's released over this room. I pray it's released over your lives. I pray your prayer lives would change. I pray that you would never be the same. And I pray, God, that the world would see you in their lives as they go to another level. And I thank you for your presence and your spirit here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.